Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing, always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/true-transparency-pricing. Happy you'll be, or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
The Wake Up Zone on 104.5 The Zone, powered by the Tennessee Lottery. They're proud to have raised more than $5 billion for education. Joining us now from Titans Radio, executive producer and friend of the show, Rep Ryan. What's going on?
Getting ready for day two of Titans minicamp at St. Thomas Sports Park. And just had a taking in all the sights and sounds, seeing who's doing what. You know, and it's an interesting time of the year because this is where the last part of all the installation is and kind of getting everything together and seeing how these guys mesh. Because when they come back in 5 weeks for training camp, it's okay. Remember what we did in minicamp. Let's revisit that and keep going. And I think the thing that's interesting out of all this is first of all, Mike Vrabel's practices. Nobody's wasting any time. Nobody's standing around with hands on hips. It's something's going on all the time in rotation with these things. But there hasn't been a stop in the middle of practice. And let's wait a minute, guys. This is the way we need to do this. I mean, everybody seems to be on the same page, even the rookie so far.
We know they're in crisis mode now. Mariota did not look good yesterday for one or two periods. The ball hit the ground. He wasn't accurate. Robinson going to go out there and trade for a quarterback?
Absolutely not. It's amazing to me how those things get started and, how it continues. And, like Ben Roethlisberger never has a bad practice, or whoever else, you want to name. And, it's 7-on-7, and they're not even wearing shells, much less pads. There's no contact, and, it's just crazy.
There are no sure things in free agency, but the more you know about Adam Humphries, the more you feel like, how will he not succeed here? You look at his history. A guy came into the league, on a tryout, not even as an undrafted free agent. A guy who thought he might be in Tampa for a day or two, and he ends up sticking and just, makes himself, into an excellent slot receiver. But talk about his progress and what you've seen from him and how he's meshing with Marcus when the ball's not hitting the ground.
Well, it's clear that he's got to be one of the top two or three receivers in this thing. You figure it's Corey Davis, A.J. Brown, and him as your top three. And you can clearly see that he gives it 110% on every play. He's always around the ball. I'm even seeing him in special team stuff in addition to working in 7-on-7 and 11-on-11. And it's the age-old John Robinson M.O., a guy that wasn't recruited, didn't get a lot of offers, walked on or whatever. It's the same thing with that. But I think the amazing thing about him is, for a little dude like he is, he's so fast, but he looks like a Sunday school teacher. I mean, he's just the all-American-looking guy, but you can clearly see that he is going to help this team and help him immediately. And I heard when you had him on earlier this morning on Wake Up Zone, and I agree with you. There are people that are saying, well, he was a product of having other better receivers around him in Tampa. I don't think that's the case in this. I mean, that guy, over 60% of his catches last year were first downs. That's what he's brought here for. Keep the chains moving.
Well, the other thing, too, you don't really always use this as your barometer, but the Patriots wanted him pretty bad. So obviously they felt like he wasn't just a product of the system.
Right. And so there's, for all who are naysayers, I think that's kind of the trump card in all of this. And when you see them pursuing a guy, as the gold standard in world championship and, professional football and dynasty right now. Absolutely.
Yeah. And yeah, just the whole thing. I mean, the way the Patriots do business, it's not like they're always going to try to outbid another team. And they were willing to spend some money on this guy, and he still chose the Titans. So that's good to know. Other thing, you know, Rhett, obviously, is the intrigue about the right side of the offensive line. And, you know, we don't know if Nate Davis, the Titans' third-round pick, will be ready when the season starts. You know, he eventually, they hope, will be the starter at right guard, but it might be later than sooner. So how do you see this playing out?
I think you see it with, you see the main reasons why they brought Kevin Pomfield back in another year deal to help in this whole thing. I see him as being the right guard in week one as they bring Nate Davis along. Now, this is early. Camp hasn't happened yet. Nate Davis could have a fantastic camp and there'd be a huge battle there. But I think it will be Kevin Pomfield on the right-hand side there, right guard, until they bring Nate Davis along. And you got to remember, Pomfield is a versatile dude. Had a lot of starts in Tampa. And you look at what he did in the first 3 weeks with the Titans before he was shelved with an injury after the Jacksonville game. I mean, you know, LaJuan was knocked out in week one in Miami, so he played left tackle in week two against the Texans and how crazy that game was, and then played right tackle in Jacksonville the third week of the season. So, I mean, he can play all over the line.
One thing they worked on yesterday, too, was screens to running backs. How much of a weapon can that be for this offense? You know, there was always a talk, well, this team's a screen team or not a screen team. To me, in today's NFL, you almost have to be a little bit, don't you?
Absolutely, you do. And, you know, that's one thing where Deion Lewis will continue to shine. You saw him early on in that and had some big games in that. But, yeah, absolutely. And I think you'll see more of that implementation with Arthur Smith as the offensive coordinator. You know, here's the thing. Improving guard play in this thing is huge. Whether you're talking about Marcus Mariota, whether you're talking about Derrick Henry in the run game, whatever it is, you think about in year two when Marcus had 3,400 yards and 26 touchdowns, 9 picks, play action was huge in all of that because DeMarco Murray was running the ball well. Well, that goes back to the line doing all right. Well, it's all about the cylinder players inside either side of Ben Jones.
Other position we talked about was tight end. And does Anthony Firkser have a spot on this team? He demonstrated he could be a pass catcher. I don't think anybody imagines him you know, as a blocker, but he's a guy that when they threw the ball to him, you know, after he stopped tripping over his own 2 feet, he started catching the ball and became a pretty reliable guy. You know, Jonnu Smith is obviously, you know, still got a place on this team, but what about him? What about Pruitt? You know, Delaney, of course, still coming along.
Right. And I think you just named your four tight ends if they keep four. But obviously, it's Delaney and Jonnu, probably Michael Pruitt, and then Firkser's probably your fourth guy.
Is Pruitt an adequate enough blocker? Or, for instance, you've got a guy like Lee Smith out there, not to be mistaken for Lee Arthur Smith, the Hall of Fame reliever.
Oh, yes.
Who played at Oakland under Todd Downing, who is now the current Titans tight ends coach.
When I think Lee Smith signed with somebody.
Oh, he did? Okay.
Think he signed because I thought that might be a target they'd go after as well because he's Tennessee native. But I believe he signed a deal with somebody, and it might have been Buffalo. I can't remember where he went. But, yeah, I know what you're thinking, and you're right. Luke Stocker is in Atlanta now, and they need a big inline blocking tight end to go with this. And that's where maybe it's a guy like Keith Tobridge that they brought in who, you know, was in the AAF with the Atlanta Legends and is a pretty good sized dude. You know, maybe that's it. That is one thing I think is going to be interesting to see how this shakes out because you and I both thought that they might take a tight end in the late rounds of the draft for not a replacement for Delaney, but a big inline blocker guy.
Our guest is Rhett Bryan, of course, from Titans Radio. If you'd like to join us with a question, 615-737-1045 or on Twitter at WUZ1045. A little about the defense when we come back as the Titans have their mini-camp practices this week. Wake Up Zone continues next on 104.5 The Zone, powered by the Tennessee Lottery.
104.5 The Zone, the Wake Up Zone. We're powered by the Tennessee Lottery. Go buy any Tennessee Lottery retailer. Have fun with those June instant games today. There are a few people more entertaining than Rhett Bryan from Titans Radio. And Rhett, by the way, thanks so much for your help on our Titans by the Numbers segment we started this week.
I know you've been instrumental in helping us land some of the Mike Keith calls from Titans Radio.
Yeah, Jonathan Schaefer and I have been working on pulling the old archives and getting some old highlights done, and I've got another list of highlights to pull here in another probably this afternoon after minicamp practice. But yeah, that's a great idea. I think it's worked very well so far. I loved hearing Al Del Greco the other day, and then how you work through some of the lower numbers today with Brett Kern through Marcus Mariota and Steve McNair. It's good stuff.
You had to go deep catalog for some of those, you know, to come up with a punt or some plays from years
well,
past.
Well, and that was when we kind of talked about this, when Jonathan Schaefer and I talked about it. I'm like, hey, I know exactly where we've got, like, Brett Kern's longest punt of his career, and we can, you know, can air that if we need to. And, you know, we kind of skimmed over, he and Brad Willis and I skimmed over roster numbers and history, and there's some spots where it's like, okay, you know, it's not great, but it'd be that way then with any franchise, pretty much, when you get into some of those area of numbers.
Yeah, we're going to be arriving at some of those soon here.
18.
11 and 18 are going to be ones that...
Those late 30s, early 40s are kind of rough, too.
Yeah, those are interesting numbers. You know, we talk about football. We were talking some about Kevin Byard and, you know, what might be ahead as far as his contract situation. What's your feel, or do you get any sense for how that whole thing might play out, you know, before the season starts?
Well, you know... If you look at John Robinson's history, when he does a contract, it's typically the first day or two of training camp as far as an announcement. And I would think if they're really talking behind the scenes and we don't know about it, I would expect to see a Kevin Byard deal in place as camp kicks off. And I'll say this, if that doesn't take place, that's going to be a very interesting scenario, because if he hits the open market, he will break the bank.
Well, not only that, but... You know, there are certain guys that you want to get done before their walk year. And with Kevin Byard, there's really almost no downside to him. You know, injury is the only thing you really Correct. Can't quantify. We all know that if he gets paid, he's going to be the same guy. We all know it'll be money well spent. We all know he wants to be here. And those are all, and to me, those are all the things that add up to his signing before the ball goes on the tee for real in September. I mean, he is a guy like that is who you sign before his free agent year is even up.
Much like a Jurrell Casey has happened twice in his career already. Yeah. Natural born leader.
Yeah.
Excellent, you know, leadership in the locker room and on and off the field both. I remember talking to Kevin Byard after his rookie season. I'm like, all right, what's year two for you? He said, I want to be more of a leader in this thing. I want to be a leader not only in our DB room, but I want to be a leader, you know, amongst the 53. And he certainly is. And ask a Dean Pease how much he'd like to have him extended. Dean Pease absolutely loves him. And why wouldn't you? Because of all the things he can do. He's fearless. And you're right. Injury's the only concern. And that's going to be with anybody you think about signing.
What about Craig Aukerman spoke yesterday. What about... special teams and what returners did he discuss?
Well, here's the thing that I found interesting, and it's not always, and you know this, both of you do, from hearing and kind of reading the tea leaves in this thing. He was asked specifically about Adoree's role in punt return and whether that would continue, and he did not commit to Adoree one way or the other. And then Amani Hooker was brought up, the rookie from Iowa, who was going to be Iowa's punt returner last year and it can play special teams and probably will heavily as a rookie. But I found more interesting, he was asked about the kick returner in Darius Jennings, who I think led the league in yards per average in kick returns last year, and he did not commit to him either. Now, whether he's just playing it close to the vest because it's this early in the season, but I found those things interesting that he would – not commit to anyone, and I guess it's still kind of an open competition. So we'll see how that plays out.
What about the second-year linebackers? And we always seem to go back to this, but to me, they're such a key for that defense. And, you know, Harold Landry has put on some muscle.
Yes.
You know, and it'll be interesting to see how that affects his sack total and his effectiveness in getting to the quarterback. But also Rashawn Evans, and it was pretty evident by the end of the season that the light had gone on with him, and he, you know, had a grasp of that defense, and now he was going to become a playmaker. And you saw him shoot a gap to get a tackle for loss. He showed an ability to get to the quarterback. But those two guys, to me, are going to have a big say in how good this season is for the Titans.
Absolutely, they are. And I'll go back to the guy I mentioned a minute ago, and that's Dean Pease. Him coming back to be the defensive coordinator in this thing is a huge storyline. Probably most underrated storyline. People talk about Arthur Smith coming back for the offense, for, you know, being elevated to OC and, you know, helping with the continuity with Marcus and the offense. The Dean Pease on the defensive side of this thing is just as important, if not more. And so they have the same guy calling the shots with them, in this case of Harold Landry and Rashawn Evans and Tyrone McKenzie and Shane Bowen are still their position coaches in this thing. Harold Landry, you're right. I would venture he's put on 10 pounds of bulk. He looks massive. Now, got to remember, the new strength and conditioning coach was his guy at Boston College. So he's been working in St. Thomas Sports Park like a madman in the last few weeks. And you can certainly see it with his body type. Rashawn Evans, I think, is the year two story in this thing. I look for him to make a year two jump just like we saw Jayon Brown. And maybe even more just because he has the size to go with it. Rashawn Evans is going to be a big, big part of this. And I think Harold Landry will too. The Harold Landry thing goes back to whether he's got a change up pitch from that fastball coming off the edge.
Thing that's sort of, and we've bounced this around too, the view from 30,000 feet with the Titans seems a lot less compelling than when you're on the ground with them. And leading up to week one, the Browns are going to get all the play. They are the sexy team. They are the most interesting team. The Titans are getting the least amount of play, in my opinion, in the AFC South, because the Colts, of course, have been anointed as a heavyweight in waiting, you know, a team that's really going to explode. Houston, the defending division champs. Jacksonville, a team with big names, lot of talent, but underachieving. And then there are the Titans, who has a quarterback who, you know, right now is in his option year in a make good situation. But in terms of, you know, star quality, at least around the NFL, the Titans are on the low end and teams like the Browns are on the other side. Red, I think that's a good thing.
I think it's an incredibly good thing. There is, you talk about the Cleveland Browns, they're the media darling in all this because they came out of the doldrums in 2018 after winning, what, one game and 32 games or whatever, yeah, and tacked together a 7-9 season. Freddie Kitchens is retained as their head coach, and everybody, and like, let's not be silly about this. The Cleveland Browns being successful in the NFL is good business for the NFL. It is. But I tell you, they're overlooking the Titans in this thing, and I guarantee you that Mike Vrabel has been preparing for this and is continuing to prepare for this, and I would put him up against Freddie Kitchens any day of the week in this thing. There's always week one anomaly-type games, and this is going to be the one that's going to shock people. I think they go in there and they cut the pins out from under the Browns, come and leave with a big win, which – it leaves them in on the crazy end of things in Cleveland because they haven't been good for very long at all, and they're heading towards that direction. But by the same token, the Titans will be like, Titans fans will be like, oh, it's time to go to the Super Bowl. And that, you got Andrew Luck and the Colts coming in the Hope Opener in week two of the regular season. So it's going to set up some crazy things. But I think they beat the Browns in week one. I really do. And that's saying something because that place is tough to play in, and they are loading the wagons with talent themselves.
And I think that's a good spot to play them, though, too. If you're going to play those guys week one, it seems like the, you know, better than maybe on down the road when they get maybe get a little more comfortable with it.
You get them off their axis early. I mean, that dog pound can be rough, but you get them down a couple scores early and just keep pounding it at them, and that you take the crowd out of it, and they go right back to what they were just not too long ago about just losing every week in just heartbreaking ways.
We're always a winner when Red Bryan's with us. Thanks, man.
Yeah, glad to do it.
Executive producer of Titans Radio, Rhett Bryan. 9:43 the time. This is the Wake Up Zone, powered by the Tennessee Lottery.